Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Chris Loffrey. Lori Walsh is off today. A panel of South Dakota lawmakers are studying the state-controlled substances laws and an almost at-capacity prison system. That happened despite the 2014 Public Safety Improvement Act, meant to reduce the number of prisoners. The group has met three times already and are close to issuing a recommendation to the legislature as a whole. Joining us to unpack the issue is SDPB's Lee Strubinger, who's been following the legislative summer study on offenses regarding controlled substances. He joins us this morning from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital production studio in Rapid City. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Chris. Good to be with you.
Lee, could you begin by giving us first a sense of the issue that that lawmakers are looking for?
Sure. So in 2018, Democratic State Senator Craig Kennedy brought a bill that reduced the penalty of ingestion of a controlled substance from a class 5 or 6 felony down to a class 1 misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. And the bill didn't make it out of committee, but there was a cost estimate analysis that was done for that bill that's kind of required for every bill regarding the prison system. Mm-hmm. And it showed that the state could save upwards of about $5 million a year just by doing that. Mm-hmm. I guess it's worthy to note that South Dakota is the only state in the union that has a felony level ingestion charge. There are 8 other states that have misdemeanor ingestion charges on the books, and you know, South Dakota has one of those as well. And so during the 2019 session, Kennedy, instead of bringing a similar bill that he did in 2018, pushed for the legislature to study the felony ingestion charge. And what lawmakers decided to do was to open the study to all of the controlled substances offenses. And so in one of the first meetings, the Unified Judicial System provided some stats that kind of show convictions for possession of a controlled substance have increased every year since 2009, except for 2019. And convictions of ingestion of a controlled substance only became relevant after Senate Bill 70, which was the law in 2014, became law. And what that did was it separated possession and ingestion. So there's kind of how the law interprets it is possession by ingestion. So, and from 2014 to 2019, the convictions for ingestion of a controlled substance increased by about 109%.
So then how are lawmakers approaching that? I mean, Senate Bill 70, the Public Safety Improvement Act, was really meant to address those issues.
I think what the task force is looking at is understanding how the state's controlled substances laws, the court system, and the prison system are all kind of working now that it's kind of changed since Senate Bill 70. You know, lawmakers are looking for ways to get people who are addicted to get them treatment. Especially in the cases of meth addiction, to get them out from what Pennington County Sheriff Kevin Tome calls or says is churning through the system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, ultimately they think that will lead them to saving money in the long run mm-hmm. by reducing, you know, prison costs. Mm-hmm. As of September 30th this year, there are 353 people in jail and their highest, or in prison, I should say, for their highest crime, which is ingestion. Mm-hmm. And committee members, including lawmakers, judges, sheriffs, and interested parties, suspect that some of it, if not most of those cases, are repeat offenders. So that churning through the system and where they've been given probation a couple times, and then prosecutors and judges will eventually just put them in prison because they haven't gotten better. Mm-hmm. And so the intent of SB 70 was to get treatment to those individuals who've entered the system. And Republican Speaker of the House, Stephen Haugard, says, you know, lawmakers never followed up with dollars to give Senate Bill 70 a chance to work.
I think what we can all agree on is that the funding for treatment was never provided. And had that been provided, I suspect we wouldn't be looking at this ingestion chart the same way. The 353 people, they might not have ended up there. So I think that is one thing we do agree on as far as what this committee can recommend is moving some resources in that direction and force this issue this coming session and get some funding in place where it was supposed to have been several years ago.
If you're just joining us, our guest is SDPB's Lee Strubinger. Now, Lee, at the end of the summer study, at the end of a summer study, rather, the group brings a recommendation to the legislature. Now, in addition to funding, what are some other ideas the committee might bring forward?
So it's a 15-member committee, and solutions may vary. However, the main idea is to find alternatives to imprisonment, you know, whether it's through drug court expansion, court supervision, and parole services. Mm-hmm. Attorney General Jason Raunsberg suggested providing something similar to telehealth, you know, where patients in rural communities can reach a doctor who has a practice in a more urban setting, but do that in a drug court setting.
We had discussions about making drug court available to those rural counties by either ITV or other means, so that it's more accessible, not less accessible, because you may only have one or two cases in your county, but those people matter also.
And Pennington County Sheriff Kevin Tome wants the state to think outside of the box when it comes to funding addiction treatment beds, is what he calls them. And so Pennington County recently received a grant from the MacArthur Foundation to look at alternatives to incarceration. Mm-hmm. And the county just recently held last week a ribbon cutting in Rapid City for a treatment bed expansion.
Until you have the pieces in place to deal with the addicts, they're going to continue to just churn through the system. And that's the frustration of law enforcement now and prosecution. And frankly, probably the addicts themselves and their attorneys, is people are just churning through the system, you know, 6, 7, 8 times a hot UA. Okay, so we caught you the seventh time. I'm not sure what that really accomplishes other than it burns a lot of resource time. So I just think we need to do a paradigm shift in how we look at trying to get more treatment beds online. So,
and during the ribbon cutting in Rapid City, Governor Kristi Noem says the treatment bed expansion in Pennington County is a testament to what needs to happen in other communities across the state.
A huge percentage of our population that's in our criminal justice system is there because of addiction or illegal drug use. Oftentimes while they're in our prisons, in our jails, they're not getting the kind of addiction treatment that they need. So I would love to see a way that we can be much more efficient and help people better, and that's by getting them addiction treatment, not necessarily putting them in prison.
Lee, if I could, I'd like to bring it back to the ingestion statute. The committee is split in terms of what to do with the law, leave it as a felony or reduce it to a misdemeanor. How might the committee address that?
So the committee is kind of split on what to do with the ingestion law. You're right. Attorney General Jason Raunsberg wants to keep the law a felony. You know, he says it's a tool for prosecutors. And Minnehaha County State's Attorney Aaron McGowan agrees. He says as a prosecutor on meth cases, he doesn't distinguish between internal possession, also known as ingestion, or external possession.
This is a huge problem, and I don't think the correct response is to wait for the behavior to escalate and then catch him again or doing something more serious. I don't think we will be successful at the onset in intervening at the proper juncture without proper leverage and incentives for programming and treatment.
State Senator Craig Kennedy, who kind of forced this issue and brought it to a task force, disagrees. And, you know, he wants to change the ingestion law. He says the state has created a system where people are destined to fail.
The only argument I hear for gain out of this is, well, maybe we can force some of these people to tell us who they got their stuff from. Now, I've been hearing that particular argument in support of drug laws for my entire 40-plus year career. And, you know, nothing much has changed.
Kennedy says he supports diverting nonviolent drug offenders into a treatment-like setting. Mm-hmm. But he says unless there's a mandate, you know, each state's attorney is going to handle that issue differently. And so Judge Patricia Ripel is on this summer study, and she's a drug court judge in the state. She suggests graduated statutes. So she says there's a way to draft state law that would prohibit a violent offender who is using a drug from getting a misdemeanor. And so she says the law should be aimed at those nonviolent drug offenders.
So let's address the people that we really can make a difference in. and look at what we have done in the past with other graduated statutes. And I don't see it as a watering down. I see it as approaching humanity in a way that gives these people an opportunity to get clean, to not have a felony on their record, perhaps get a better job, feed their kids, pay their mortgages, and move on with their life.
So as you can kind of see, this is a very, very broad summer study. And generally a summer study meets for about three times. They're going to meet again next Friday on November 1st, and they could end up bringing some recommendations that they'll bring to the legislature.
SDPB's Lee Strubinger joining us today on In the Moment from Rapid City. As always, Lee, much appreciated.
Thanks for having me, Chris.